Gotham, a crazy podcast about DC, with your host E-Rock and PD. When we speak up, get your geeks up, cause you know you about to get geeked up. So sit back, relax, and get comfy. Lose your mind like Solomon Grundy, and listen to a show that won't be forgotten, coming straight out of Gotham.
Everybody out in podcast land, welcome to another episode of Straight Outta Gotham, episode 7. We are a proud member of the Bat Pod Network, hosted by Batman on Film. I am your co-host in New Jersey, Peter M. Vera. Today we're recording on June 16th, 2020. We have a fantastic show as always today. Now, let me throw it over to the pride of West Islip, Mr. Eric Holzman.
West Islip? Is that the only town you know on Long Island?
I looked at the map. That's the town I chose. And okay. I hear it a lot on the fan, so I went with it. I'm just going to list towns.
I am not from West Islip, but I am from Long Island. And hello, Pete. And how are you? And all that good stuff. It is, as you said, it's Wednesday, right? Yeah.
June 16th.
No, I think it's Tuesday. I'm losing my mind. It's Tuesday, June 16th.
Yes, and that is a special date because why, Eric? Come on, you got this. You know this.
Because why?
Today is the 25th anniversary of our beloved Batman.
Yes, Forever. Batman Forever. Yes, it is. It is. It is the 25th anniversary of Batman Forever. I was in college when that came out. I remember it fondly. I remember the promotion. I remember going to see it opening night. And at that time, those were at midnight. So
those
back
are
then,
really
every.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. Every. All the premieres when they had the early premieres, because they started. For certain movies, they would do them. They didn't do them for all like they do now, but they would do it. And I got to see that one, the early premiere. And those were when they were selective, too. Like, not every theater had it. You had to go to a certain one. And. So I got to watch it then. And it's one of my the Burton Schumacher films. It's probably my second favorite after 89. And it was the one that it kind of straddled the fence of Burton and Schumacher in aesthetic and style. And there were some dark moments, but not as much, obviously, as we got in Batman and then Batman Returns. And then we had the more lighter, campy stuff that Warner Brothers wanted Schumacher to do. So it hit on both notes, right? I thought it hit on both. I thought we had a good bunch of camp and a nice serious tone underlying, which was Bruce's duality. Can he be Batman and Bruce Wayne, and can they coexist? And that was the underlying tone of the film. And I always thought watching I never thought it was, people say it's a reboot. I never really looked at it that way. I always thought it was a connection from the Burton films and just continuing on the storyline. It was the same Batman to me. It had the same Commissioner Gordon. It was a logical progression. So, but yeah, it was an event. Again, like we've said before, with all the Batman films, they're varying degrees of events. And this one was an event. Next to 89, it was probably, and The Dark Knight, it was probably the most marketed of all the Batman films. So
for me, it was my first real taste of Batmania. I know the 95 Batmania isn't as strong as, as what happened in 89 and for The Dark Knight. And even 66, like I realize it's the fourth biggest Batmania there is, but that was my first taste of it. And it really hit me hard. I mean, between MTV and the McDonald's stuff and the Kenner action figures, the novelizations. I mean, there was a lot aimed at a 9-year-old kid. And I soaked it all up, man. I mean, Forever. I have such great memories of that summer and seeing that movie. I really dig in deep into this in Batman the Film Podcast 170. But okay. There's a – oh, man, I love it so much. I do. But there was a point in time where I disliked it, and I did. I was one of those people who put it. I botched it in there with Batman and Robin, and I stuffed it in the back of my closet, swore to never watch it again. But the Nolan films and their greatness really helped ease that pain. And Batman Forever really is a great. It's a solid comic book movie. Great isn't the right word, but it's solid. It's fun. It's entertaining, and it's. I could see why they made it in response of Batman Returns. As much right. as I like Batman Returns, you know, I realize as a kid it terrified me, so I get why Batman Forever was made. So, but yeah, no, I love it. I mean, the Batmobile, Robin, Batman, just all that was great. The Riddler, Two-Face. I mean, sure, Two-Face is the worst part of the movie, but Jim Carrey was huge then, and he owned the 90s.
Yeah.
There was a lot aimed at a 9-year-old kid. I mean, it was fun. It was a good time to be a Bat fan. It really was. It really... really helped bring out the Bat fan I am today.
See, so it's cool. Like, we have two different eras here. Like, obviously everyone knows I'm older than you. So I had the view of it from a college student and you had the view of it of a 9-year-old, which I'm sure our takeaways at that time obviously would have been much different. So do you remember anything about that film that now you look back and you say, oh, that was stupid, or
yeah, basically, you know. Two-Face outside of the opening, you know, like as a kid, you're like, oh wow, Two-Face, okay. But like, as you learn how much Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey didn't get along, and then how Tommy Lee Jones constantly just tried to one up him, and it's like, but that's not who Two-Face is, and it's sad because like I love Tommy Lee Jones, I think he's a really great actor. I love The Fugitive and U.S. Marshals and Men in Black, and oh geez, I can't. Countless other movies I've seen him in.
Captain America, First Avenger.
Yeah, he's even fantastic in that. He really is. Yeah. So it's like, I know he's a great actor and he could do this. Like, he would make a great Harvey Dent Two-Face. It's just that portrayal just kind of didn't lean that way.
So. Yeah. And then, you know, I'm more liberal about portrayals than most people. I'm like, well, if it works in the story, then I'm okay with it. But that one to me didn't even work in the story.
He's really great in the opening and in the end of that movie, like before he passes off the bridge plate there.
Before he tries to catch the
I thought that speech was really good. So he opened and closed the movie really solidly. It's a shame we never got to see the full, like, you know, Red Diary Schumacher cut of Forever with him escaping Arkham. So
there's
other parts of the movie out there. Maybe one day they'll release it as an anniversary. It's been 25 years, so maybe we can get the 30, we'll get something.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, I've seen a lot of the clips from the Red Diary edition. They've been released and I've seen.
And a lot of that stuff is the bonus features of the DVD. So it's not like it's not accessible. It's just not in the movie.
Exactly. But I think it would be cool to see it all put together, like the Donner cut from Superman 2.
Yeah, be a good idea.
You know, put that all together and see it. It's and like you talked, the big star from that film was Jim Carrey, obviously. You know, at that time, you couldn't touch him. He was pretty much Teflon. Everything he did, people enjoyed. The portrayal of Riddler was definitely Gorshin-esque, as what he said. That's what he was going for.
Yeah, so Gorshin.
Yeah, it really, that's the way he went. And I've always said, if that's what he was going for, then he kind of nailed it. So,
but that was the Riddler up until really that time. Like, Batman the Animated Series changed a little bit, and the Arkham games changed a little bit. But, I mean, and then if you look at something like the Batman, which is a very drastic change to the Riddler, like he really was just kind of Frank Gorshin.
Yeah. Yeah, but it worked for that film.
He's great. I mean, hey, the pink hair, like, I didn't mind that at all. Like, I don't know where that came from, but it was great. I enjoyed all the Riddler stuff. I really did. Enigma was cool. And it's funny because Electro in Amazing Spider-Man 2 is basically – it's basically the Riddler storyline from Batman Forever, obsessed with Spider-Man, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then eventually, you know, takes his anger out on him. But it was very interesting how that mimicked it. But
that's a good comparison. Yeah. I didn't even think of that.
But so many years later, still doing similar things, Batman Forever.
And I think of all the guys who played Batman, I think Val Kilmer probably gets the – what's the word I'm looking for?
He doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah, that's true. He probably gets the short end of the stick, because I thought when you watch the movie, I thought he was believable in both roles. Mm-hmm. And whenever I watch a Batman movie, that's always where I go. I said, is this guy believable as Bruce Wayne in Batman? And he definitely was. And
He's lucky he just didn't do the next one, to be brutally honest.
Yeah. Well, that movie didn't hurt George Clooney's career. So looking back, it wasn't such a bad choice for him. But
he did say that. Yes, he does.
Well, yeah. He apologizes all the time to people for Batman.
Yeah, well, Robin, even admits like Batman and Robin was the best career decision he's ever made. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a Batman movie. It's an IP everyone knows and is going to go see regardless. So, but yeah, that movie. I don't know. I asked you, is there anything looking back as your 9-year old self, me even looking back at my late teens, because I think I was 19 when it came out. Yeah, I mean, there's even things now that I'd be like, that was ridiculous. Like the whole, when I first saw the bat, when they break into Wayne Manor and then the Batcave and Jim Carrey does his whole thing. And
like, well, where are the adults when these kids are trick or treating at Wayne Manor? Like, it's just kids. Like, and where's the next house? It's got to be like miles away. So like, where
are these kids? Probably has like
kids coming from. Where are they going? Like, do they have bicycles? Like, what's going on? I mean, you know, and it's like, well, how does Edward Nygma plant the boxes and Two-Face's hideout? And where are they before they tell us what he's eating? And then it's like, how does Two-Face rig the vault full of acid if he doesn't know he's going to? It's like, there's all these questions and plot holes. And it just goes back to like the era of comics that Schumacher read as a kid is the era of comics that he put on the screen. And it was just stuff happened. You know, Batman was in crazy situations. He had to get out of them. And that's what Schumacher did.
Well, that was the 66 show too, right? Yeah,
that Dick Sprang era of Batman comics is what Joel, like, and here's the thing, like, Burton wasn't really a comic book fan or a Batman fan, but he was like this dark gothic, you know, idealist. Right. And that's what made him good for Batman. Like, he fit Batman. Schumacher's a Batman fan. Like, he read comic books as a kid. Mm-hmm. So like, Schumacher took what he saw from his childhood and made it live action. And that's what Batman Forever is, and it's lighthearted like that because he's looking at those Dick Sprang era of comics, which aren't, you know, crazy, but Batman does a lot of interesting things. He's in a lot of interesting scenarios, you know, giant clocks and things and like things, mm-hmm. you know, like things on wheels, and jump roping on a harp. You know, it's like crazy stuff like that. And that's kind of what Batman Forever is when you look at it, you know, and. It does represent an era of Batman comics, and I think it does it really well, and I appreciate what Joel did.
It's just, there's things about it now that, like I said, you look back, oh, it's ridiculous, but then I think, well, it was in the 90s, and that kind of fit the 90s at the time. So from that point of view, I agree. It you know.
There's heart in it, and you could tell they tried to do things, and they wanted to do the characters justice and everything, you know, outside of Two-Face, but, you know. It seems like it's weird.
Yeah.
I remember reading something and like they tried to convince Tommy Lee Jones for this role. And like Peter McGregor Scott, who was one of the producers, like called Tommy. And then Tommy responded. He was like, well, I just don't get the movie. And he's like, what do you mean? You're Tommy Lee Jones. Just be in the movie. And then he like read the script again. And he's like, all right, fine. I'll do it. So I don't even know if Tommy Lee Jones ever really wanted this movie. He must have got a great check. But outside of that, it seemed like there was a lot of heart in Batman Forever. You know, just from building it ground up. And
well, there definitely was. I mean, you know.
You could tell Batman and Robin is a money-making machine.
Right. And the story for Bruce Wayne is as personal and as deep as you're going to get. So that's part of, like I was saying before, you have your campy, funny, mm-hmm. you know, stupid moments, I guess. And then you have the serious tone of the film, which is Bruce Wayne's story and that's why I think this movie works for me anyway, because it brings both of those things together very well. And it has a little something for everyone. It also has to date our only live action Robin, in movies, right?
Yes.
So it's the only, until we get another one, which I hope we do, because I'd really like to see Robin.
We've had a movie again. One Robin. We've had one John Blake. They're different characters.
Yes, I don't subscribe to the John Blake as Robin theory.
I don't hate John Blake as a character, but he's just not Robin.
Right. So we only have that portrayal, which is Chris O'Donnell, which he was older, obviously.
In the movie. I really do. I'm into it.
I'm into it. I thought he did a good job. I just, like, now looking back, I look at him and say, yeah, he's not a teenager. because Chris O'Donnell wasn't at that time, but it worked. Yeah, it worked for the film, and they wrote the part as someone who was young, and I thought he did a good job and pulled it off. So yeah, so that's the other thing about Batman Forever that I always say, like, yes, you know, to date is the only live action Robin we really have gotten on screen who wore the costume and, you know,
yeah,
was the sidekick. So fast forwarding, it's funny that this is a pretty good jump ahead because it's actually 10 years. So fast forwarding, it's also this weekend was the anniversary of the release of Batman Begins. And at that time, I remember we talked about before we came on, there wasn't much hype for this film. It was kind of like wasn't really something that people were anticipating, except unless you were obviously fans of Batman, you weren't anticipating this like other Batman movies. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing the first couple trailers and I was like, oh, that looks interesting. You know, you're like, oh, okay. It's definitely different than what we had with Schumacher. So I was like, all right, it's definitely going in a different direction. And yeah, when it came out, I told you this, again, I told you this before, I saw it on opening. This wasn't opening night. I saw it. It was the last movie I saw when I lived in Florida for a while. And it was the last movie I saw there. And yeah, it was kind of a very light audience. There wasn't a lot of people there. And I just remember watching it and then getting to the end and being like, holy crap, that was really good. Like, I had no expectations for this film, which is why I think I love it so much. And to me, and to many people agree with this, but for me, it is the definitive origin story for comic book characters. There are a couple there are a couple that have come close, but nothing touches this one. And it completely changed the superhero genre. This movie, Chris Nolan did such a serious, grounded take that no one had done before, and it just worked. And it didn't make a lot of money, as we know. Box office wasn't high, but the word of mouth pushed it so that when the DVD came out, that's where it made a lot of money. So what was your anticipation for Batman Begins, and then what did you think after you saw it?
Well, it's funny because there's a lot of similarities between Begins and Forever, you know. Coming up in the 7 years since Batman and Robin, no one wanted to touch Batman. No one thought it would work again, you know, which was kind of like, and no one really cared too much about it, you know, which is kind of what Batman Forever was coming out of Batman Returns. Like, everyone's like, all right, whatever, Batman, you guys did that one. So there's a lot of similarities, and it's just funny how that they kind of share these 2 days, you know, they debut a day apart 10 years later. So
it's yeah, cool. Right.
But I remember seeing Batman Begin. I mean, I've been following it since Scooby-Doo tricked me all those years ago with their stupid trailer. So that's really what got me, you know, back, sparked the fire in me. That's really what got me drawn to BOF. And from there, it was just a snowball effect. And I mean, I've been following it ever since. So, I mean, I remember really no hype for this movie. Everyone's like, all right, but, you know, because even the villains weren't sexy. It's the Scarecrow, which, you know, you got to go down deep in the archives. If you're a member of the general audience, like, Scarecrow wasn't really predominant on the 60s show, so he wasn't around a whole lot. Mm-mm. So it's a villain, and then it's Ra's al Ghul. He's not on the show either, so that's, you know, that's more of a 70s thing. That's all right. So this is different, you know. And the Ducard, not many, you got to be a comic book fan to know about Henry Ducard. So there's a lot of characters in there that aren't really appealing to the general audience. So, like, there's no buzz, you know, it's not Joker, it's not Riddler, it's not, you know, those characters create buzz. You know, you hear them, they have logos, they're distinctive, they're the top tier. But I saw Begins in an empty theater, probably with like 4 other people on a Wednesday afternoon when I got my dollar popcorn as for my matinee showing. And, I sat there just blown away, you know, and, you know, all the stuff in like wherever, I mean, whatever foreign country he is, I don't know where he is. Where is he? Where's like the monastery and like the temple and everything? I don't know where it is. What country was that? Like, I'm sitting there and I'm watching that and I'm like, oh, wow, this is interesting. you know, and you're just like, okay. And then like all the stuff from year one happens and you're just like, oh my God, this is incredible. And yep. It's got like this weird filter to it. Like everything just looks brown and dingy. And it's like, you know, like Gotham, it looks like Gotham. It's different than what Burton did, but it just looks filthy and run down and like full of scum. And it's fantastic. Their production design, especially the narrows, and it's just from everything from like, and it's almost like there's like certain things that happen to a Batman movie. They like sneak up on you and then all of a sudden they're like really quotable and it's like, does it come in black? And you know, it's just like, it's great. And it's like, what is he driving? It's a black tank. You know, it's like, he's flying on rooftops. It's just these great lines in this movie. And it's like, there's no one left to send in, and there goes the tumbler. And it just, he's so heroic. And it's like, you haven't seen Batman that heroic since Batman Forever. And again, and it's just, you're just blown away because it is the definitive A number one top spot superhero origin story of all time. It's just, there's no doubt about it. You know, you can throw in Iron Man, you can throw in Captain America, First Avenger, Superman 78. It's Batman Begins is number one. It just is. Uh-huh. Yep. From the way it starts and then the way it finishes. I mean, that ending alone, we could talk about for 15 minutes.
Yes, it's, you know, it is. Yeah, it's the best ending in a superhero movie, maybe probably ever. It's just the conversation. Gordon being moved up in rank, and then you have the conversation, and then he tells, you know, he kind of blames Batman, and he goes, why? He goes, escalation, and he explains, you know, we have Kevlar, they'll use armor-piercing rounds, and you're, you know, in the shadows, and then he's like, take this guy, and then he shows the Joker card and explains, you know, who he is and what he's been doing. It's just, like, the end of that movie, you're kind of like, okay, you wanted The Dark Knight to come out the next day. Like, oh, you didn't want to wait.
God, you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait for it, man.
Yep. You couldn't wait. Just the next day, you're like, all right, I want this next movie to come out. And that, you know, that made me excited again for Batman movies. And that, man, there's just so much about this movie that's good.
There's so much that's good, but no one really went to go see it in theaters. It wasn't until DVD sales that really gave the movie a shot at a sequel. And like, you to think about that, first of all, this movie is terribly underrated. It's not ranked high enough in people's rank. It's just a fantastic story. But it's just like, if this movie didn't sell enough DVDs, we wouldn't have gotten the greatest comic book movie of all time.
Yes.
And that's even crazier. There was a lot riding on Begins because nobody wanted it after 97. 97 was so bad for the brand. I mean, like, wow. 97, there was such a hole. But
yeah,
it's crazy. DVDs.
Yeah, I mean, it shows you the power of the word of mouth, right? Like, people who saw Batman Begins were telling people about it, and then they saw it. And then when it came out in DVD, the same people who saw it were like, no, get this. Like, it's a really good movie. Buy it.
Yeah.
You know, go see it. You have to see this film. And at the time, Nolan wasn't as big a director as he is now. So, like, people knew of his work, but it wasn't enough to push people to just go see it because, oh, it's a Christopher Nolan movie. The Batman.
Until after Dark Knight.
Right. But the trilogy is really why he's elevated to the level he is.
Yeah.
So, you know, there were a bunch of factors as to why people didn't go see it. And then when you see, like you said, the DVD sales pushed it so high that the studio was like, yes, you can go ahead and make The Dark Knight. That's not common. So I'm glad it did well. I'm glad everyone out there, I'm glad you went and bought it.
But even even the toys, like, I mean, I looked for action figures that I liked for Batman Begins, the original line. And to be brutally honest, there's like nothing out there. No, it wasn't a good time for toys except for the electronic tumbler, which I ended up buying maybe 2-3 years ago. That's the only thing worth buying, I thought. But the toy line wasn't even good. Like nothing geared up again until Dark Knight, and that was the next Batmania.
Yes.
You know? So nothing geared up really again until Dark Knight, and Begins just was so under the radar. Because in that same time, you still had like the Tim Story Fantastic Four movie coming out. I mean, within months of it. You know, that's where we were in that era of this genre. You know, we still haven't reached the MCU yet.
No. Nope.
05 is still early in the game. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And we had, when did Spider-Man 3 come out?
That was 07. So we were right in the thick of like, it was X-Men. It was Spider-Man, and then Nolan's Batman was just joining it. But we also had like the Ghost Rider was out there, you know, the Tim Story movies were out there. So like, that's that era. Like Nolan was that was the first part of the next wave,
yep.
You know, and things really changed after Batman Begins.
But, yeah. And I mean, it introduced, like, we never had Lucius Fox before in a movie. You know, like there's...
Well, Gordon was used so much more efficiently in the Nolan series than he was. Pat Hingle, no, rest in peace, was wasted. I mean, even in everything. I mean, there's good hints of him being Commissioner Gordon in 89, but that's really where it stops.
Yep.
You know, in Batman Forever, they had him run around in his pajamas.
Yes, they did.
So
it was just everything about it. It's my favorite. The Dark Knight is a better movie. I'll give that. But Batman Begins is my favorite Batman movie. In 89, depending on the day.
Yeah.
But those two are my favorite Batman movies. And when I watch Batman Begins, I still sit there and like the first time I saw it, like I still have that same reaction. Like, I know what's coming. I know the next scene. I could recite the lines.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, but you just, it's like, wow.
I love it. One of my favorite scenes is when he's got the stapler and he's got it on Gordon and he's like, and then he chases him and he goes, just some nut. You're like, I love that scene. There's so many great things about Batman Begins. Oh, I love the first like appearances. I love the doc scene. I think the doc scene doesn't get enough credit. Like everyone talks about the warehouse scene, but the doc scene in Begins is really good.
It is.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's completely different than that scene, and I love both of them, but it's completely different. The doc scene is very much he's doing everything stealth mode, right? Like,
oh, it's so good.
Everything is, you don't know where he is. They don't know where he is. It's just, yeah, it's a different kind of Batman than we get like in the warehouse scene. Like, this is a different Batman, and it's awesome. It's such a good scene, and like I said, the cast is incredible. Obviously... Michael Caine.
Yes.
Morgan Freeman. Cillian Murphy as Scarecrow. Tom Wilkinson, that's
great. What I meant. Yeah, Tom Wilkinson was great.
Yes.
You know? Oh, especially when Bruce Wayne goes in there to tell him he's not afraid of him. And he's like, he tells him about fear and just all this stuff. And, you know, you have to go 100 miles for someone who doesn't know your name. Like, just really great. Like, he's such an amazing, really, really good Roman. And it's just like, oh, Falcone really done so well. And, it's one of those characters who wasn't in the Burton Schumacher movies, Falcone. You know, we had Carl Grissom, you know, that was our mob connection there. But it was interesting. It was so good. I mean, to see the Judge Faden in the bar and he's just explaining how he owns the city and how he even thinks Roz can't touch him in his own city. And just the interconnection of Scarecrow and how, oh, God. And then when he's in the Narrows, he tells him he needs to lighten up and he lights him on fire. There's just some really cool stuff in there. I mean,
it's awesome.
And the Tumblr chase scene, that's one of the best Batmobile scenes ever filmed. Mm-hmm. It just is, you know, the brutality of the car and everything, the muscle and just everything that it can do is fantastic. It's wonderful to see, but it's great. You know, it's just as good as, seeing the one in 89, it's just a really, really fantastic scene.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, what other scenes stand out for you? Like,
I love the whole, I guess it's Nandapar Bat or wherever he is when he's being trained by the League of Assassins. And then Liam Neeson as Roz was incredible. He's great in everything though. So, but yeah, that whole sequence was awesome. You know, obviously the rescue, the Rachel rescue with the bats. That's great. Incredible. Like, that's an incredible scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, there's so many of them. The train, obviously, the fight with Roz on the train. It's an awesome scene. Man, there's just, I really can't think of a bad one. I mean, everyone picks on Katie Holmes. I thought she was fine.
She didn't bother me.
I had no problem there.
And this is what I love about Batman is just the rich history of the character. So Batman Begins comes out and you find out like, okay, this actor's playing this. And you find out Liam Neeson is playing a character called Henry Ducard. Mm-hmm. Well, that leads me to look on the internet, find out who Henry Ducard is, look at the back issue, see what number it is, go to the comic shop, you know, spend $7 on some back issues, you know, support your local shop. And it's so great because it's like, oh, wow. And they're introducing this. And then there's that whole ruse that he's like, you know, or is Ra's al Ghul truly immortal? And it's like, oh my God, you're not Dukar. That's an alias. And it's like, this is great. And right. It ties into, you know, the late, great Denny O'Neill, who recently passed. So it's like, it's just history. It's the character. And they did their homework and I could appreciate that. And that's something I love, not just about Batman, but Batman Begins. And it's, I appreciate it for its efforts.
Yeah, no, they did. I mean, obviously you already talked about the year one stuff. Like they definitely did their homework.
And I love year one. So to make it so right. close to that is just like, oh, it's so near and dear to my heart. Like you got me. Like, thank you.
Yeah, it really was. It just, when you, again, it was so grounded and you literally thought like, yeah, I could be there. I could be, you know, in that world. And it brought you in better than the other movies because those had, obviously you had your fantastical elements and things like that there. So, this was the groundedness of it is what another thing that I think brings people into the character because it's something you can do with Batman, right? He doesn't have superpowers. He's just a really rich guy. So you can do those things with Batman and there's not a lot of superheroes. You can, the Green Arrow, obviously doesn't have superpowers. So there's other characters that don't have it, but, you know, they're obviously not as popular. So you can do that with Batman and it just brings the viewer in, the reader in. It was just, man, the movie is just so, so good. I'm so glad we got it because it led to the next two. And I know I have issues with Rises more than you do, but I still enjoy it. That entire trilogy. And it's all tied together. Everything that you get in the first one is brought back home for the rest of the movies.
It's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it's a wonderful story. It really is. I could talk about Begins for days. It's such a good time again to be a Bat fan because there was so much promise. I mean, for years, we spent just wondering if we'd ever get another chance. Really. I mean, between 97 and when did they start this thing off in 04 when they started production? Like, you're like, is it really going to happen? And you know,
yeah.
Just like, wow. And it was such a positive time. It really was because it was just the upswing was great. And for me, it was really a really strong introduction to Batman on film for me. So it was even like the beginning of that relationship and just what it would become. But there's a lot of good memories there. It was a good summer seeing that movie. You know, I saw it maybe three, four times in theaters. You know, I remember one time I was watching it. And I was a lifeguard at a pool in Middletown, New Jersey. And my boss called me because she needed me to like plunge a toilet. And I was in the beginning of the movie and I'm like, I'm watching a movie right now. Like, I don't have to be at work for like 2 hours. Like, you know, I timed it. So like, and she's like, okay, can you just come in and do this? I was like, yeah, sure. Later. You know, it was just funny. Like, it was a good summer for me. I had a lot of fun. And that was like one of the funny stories that happened. I took the phone call because I was the only person in the theater. Cause like I said, no one went to see this movie. so don't get angry with me.
Well, yeah. And like I said, like we said before, it really was the beginning of how comic book movies are made now. Like it's pretty much the template. If you look at it, I mean, all comic book movies try to aspire to tell similar type stories, character stories, and it's just they're not viewed anymore as just summer blockbuster films. Like now they're, you know, considered serious movies. And this is the reason why. This movie's the reason why. This is the beginning of it. And I'm so glad because for the longest time, I, you know, kind of telling people you went to see a comic movie, they'd kind of look at you like, what?
Yeah, now it's like, where's the next one?
Yep.
2005 was a big turn for the genre.
Yeah.
You had, like I said, Fantastic Four and Batman Begins coming out in the same year.
Fantastic Four was not good.
So it was things were the wild, wild west out there, you know?
Fantastic Four was what not to do. Sorry, but hey,
it's Chris Evans, the best one they've ever made, which is the sad part.
It is actually, it is the best one. And Chris Evans is the first Chris Evans Marvel character.
And he's really good in that role too. Not to get off on a side tangent, but he's good as Johnny Storm.
He was. Yes. We're not going to talk about Fantastic Four people. Don't worry. We don't want to stress anyone out or put anyone through that torture. So we won't talk about that, but we can talk about some other news we got today, which is pretty cool. And, you know, it's something that to look forward to. It's coming in August, and that is the DC Fandome. Obviously, it's a play on fandom. And Warner Brothers is setting up something that's kind of like a Comic-Con, I guess, a virtual Comic-Con. And it's going to merge all of our favorite DC superheroes and villains into one place, DCFandome.com, for 24 hours. And it's totally free. And it's going to have everything. You're going to have casts and creators from Aquaman, the Batman, Batwoman, Black Adam, Black Lightning, Legends of Tomorrow, all the CW stuff, Teen Titans Go, the Titans show on DC Universe, Doom Patrol. It's going to be a hodgepodge of all that stuff. And, I'm looking forward to it. I can't believe they're doing it for free, number one. but they are, thank God. And I'm so looking forward to it. Like I can't wait for it. So what do you think, Pete?
Yes, it's about goddamn time they jumped on this train. Like I said, D23, Star Wars Celebration, every fandom, everything now has their own con, and this is fantastic. This is DC Comic Con. That's what this is. It's just, you know, it's a one-day Comic Con, full experience for the fan, and this is awesome. Like, there's some great stuff. I hope maybe we'll get some announcements. Hopefully we get something about Wonder Woman 84. Maybe we'll get something about the Batman. I'll take a photo of Oswald Cobblepot. I don't need anything special. Just give me something, anything. I'll take another Batmobile photo. I'll take a cockpit photo of the Batmobile. I don't care. I just want to see some stuff. But yeah, this is great. I love it. I know San Diego Comic-Con is going to be a different thing this year, but you know, all these brands are pulling and they're having their own con. So they're not really using San Diego Comic-Con for what is it? The movie like premiere thing that it's been the last like 20 years, which is great. Cause maybe I can go and it won't be as crowded. So maybe that'll help that. But this is great. It's about time they did something like this. And I think it sounds fantastic. And I'm looking forward to it. I'll spend my day on my computer at DC Fandom.
Yeah, I mean, they have a map laying out all the areas that they posted out. And yeah, obviously, you start in the Hall of Heroes and then you go all around the place. And there's a different thing, different area for different things.
Probably won't hang out in the kids' verse too much, to be honest. But there's four other places worth looking at.
Yeah, the fun verse seems to be like a place where
Insiderverse for scoops, maybe the Ayer cut or the Schumacher cut. What other cut could be out there?
The Watchverse is something too, because there's been talk about a new Batman game. So I'm kind of wondering if they're gonna.
I want a Superman game. Batman games. Give me a great Superman game.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. Superman Returns was kind
of. Can I get like a Green Lantern game in like the essence of like Star Fox, where I'm just like the Green Lantern and I gotta shoot things? Can I just get that like in space? I'll take that. That's an idea. Somebody steal that and make a game out of it. Like, come on, give me something.
Yeah, like the old Star Wars arcade game. I don't know if you've ever played it, but that's what
that is. No, that's way too old. You're showing your age.
Showing my age again?
Showing your age. Tom McLennan would be like, Eric, you're old. You're an old man, Eric. Stop it.
He always says I'm old.
You're plonker.
You sound more Australian now than you do.
No, British. I don't. Tom, my name's Tom McLennan.
Oh, boy.
Bullshit. I love you, Tom.
Yes, we love you, Tom. We both love you. This was a really bit of good news with everything that's going on in the world right now. This was something that I was like, oh, check that out.
Anything you could share with me, just a little bit of, you know, sneak peek into the movie. You know, like, I don't care if it's some kind of like tease about Cheetah. Can I get something about Cheetah that doesn't involve a Halloween costume? Like, you know, some, just give me anything, really. I can take a photo. It doesn't have to be a trailer. I'm not asking for much. It's just a nice still photo I can put on my Instagram, get a couple likes, you know, get that traffic up.
So I'm wondering how this...
talking to you.
Huh?
Patty Jenkins, I'm talking to you.
Sorry, I missed that. Yeah, this I'm wondering how they're gonna work. Is it gonna be like a con where they're gonna have a schedule of things on certain days?
Yeah, I would imagine things are gonna be scheduled panels. Right? There's probably gonna be panels scheduled at the same time, so you have to make a decision. Dun, 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 dun.
And I wonder if this was the bit of news that people were, have been leaking.
And it sounds great news to me. I'm glad they leaked it, but I want a little bit more information. Well, when you
leave. I mean, obviously that's going to come.
This is great. This is fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to come.
Hold me over until Wednesday, which is comic book day.
Uh-oh. Any titles you're looking for?
I don't even know what's coming out. I have to check my pull list. DC fandom just sounds like an overall awesome experience. I'm looking forward just to be surprised as I click through. I'm not really expecting much, but whatever they give me, I'm sure I'll enjoy. And that's kind of the fun part.
The cool thing about it being virtual is that they could probably include a ton of stuff that you can't include when you're live in person, you know? So that part's going to be interesting to see how much content they actually throw in here. Because we have, what, how many years of content for DC?
80 plus.
Yeah, so... That part's going to be interesting to see how much they give you. But I'm wondering now what's going to happen with other, you know, will Marvel do something like this?
I feel like Marvel is part of the D23.
Yeah, they are.
So true. I imagine that's what Disney will do. That's kind of like their brand. You know, Star Wars has its own thing because it's massive. Marvel's not as big as Star Wars.
Yes.
But, this seems to be the way things are going. This seems to be the way the future is, you know, which would be cool because then Comic-Cons can become Comic-Cons again instead of movie premiere places. And I appreciate that. I enjoy Comic-Cons.
That's true. One thing we will get is Snyder Cut stuff. I've read that on Deadline. I've read that on Variety.
Really?
Yes.
Snyder Cut trailer?
I don't know if we're getting a trailer. But we're going to be getting Snyder Cut material.
What does that mean? What is Snyder Cut material? It's got to be parts of the movie.
I would think so. But I don't know if you'd want to do that.
I don't want any more black and white photos. He's been teasing that for a while now.
Well, maybe they'll put, maybe they'll put a trailer together for it, which would be cool.
I'd like to see it. I'd like to see him, honestly, mimic the trailers as they released for the theatrical cut just using your footage. Like, mock it that way. Just release the Zack Snyder trailers. I don't know.
Nice. Maybe we'll get some feedback on or some information on the Suicide Squad game.
Oh, maybe a Suicide Squad trailer? I feel like that movie's been wrapped. I feel like he's got to have something up his sleeve.
Yeah, that's a good something. Point. That's a good point.
Suicide Squad trailer might be something to pay attention to.
See, all this great stuff, now that my brain's working and thinking about all the possibilities, I have a ton of different things that we might see here.
Yeah, I'm really excited. You know, it just sounds fun. It just sounds fun. Like, this is something they should have been doing. This is a no-brainer to me.
It really is. Like, it sucks that it took a pandemic for them to do this, but hey, we're getting it now. So, they should have done this at like Six Flags. But they have all the games, all their rides and stuff named after DC characters. Do something like that there. I don't know. When this opens up, DC, Warner Brothers, give me a call. Sorry, AT&T. Got to include them now too, right?
And HBO Max. They save everybody.
Give me a call. We'll discuss it. We'll talk to the Six Flags people and we'll get that done.
We'll talk to the Six Flags people.
We'll get it done. Let's do it. Well, I think that about wraps this one up.
I do. Okay. I think you're right. I do think you are right, sir. That seems to, we're well under an hour. This is a solid commuter episode of Straight Outta Gotham. Thank you.
Kept it to short and to the point.
That's good. I can go downstairs, finish my cognac.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
It does.
And tasty.
Maybe I'll watch some Batman Begins. I've been watching Batman Forever for the past week. I mean, I some people have been like, you haven't talked about Batman Begins at all this week. And I was like, yeah, 25th of Batman Forever was kind of a big deal. Wait until the 25th of Begins, because that's really going to be when the fun happens. That's going to be a fun time. 25 for Begins?
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Just going to mean I'm old. Oh, I hate getting old. Anyway, but it beats the alternative. So, Pete, what do you got to plug?
I make a guest appearance on BOF Podcast, episode 170. We talk about Batman Forever and 25 years since that film debuted in 1995. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Vero, all social media platforms at Pete Illustrated. Don't forget to follow our show Instagram and Twitter handle at @straight_O_G, straight OG. That is where you'll find all our updates. Get our Grundy alerts, this way you know we're recording. And whenever our neat and detailed editor, Eric Holzman, can pump out this episode, it'll be a joyous occasion. He's a busy man. He's a busy man doing many things.
I'm hoping to work on it tomorrow. I hope to get this up tomorrow night. Maybe middle of the day, depending on how my day is. But I definitely want to get this one up as fast as I can. So, and for me, you all can find me or follow me on Twitter at Finale33. It's spelled Finale33. Same handle on Instagram as well. So you can find me either place. As Pete already referenced, I also am one of the owners of the Straight Outta Gotham Twitter handle. So you can also hit me up there. Yes, we own it. Hit me up there to discuss anything about this podcast. You want to discuss pop culture. I even have a political mind as well. So any of those topics you want to discuss with me. MCU,
Spider-Man.
Yes. I will discuss MCU as well. We're going to do an MCU episode. I'm putting it out there now.
Oh, that's so great. I can't wait for you to pick one of the movies I don't like. I can only imagine what your start.
Well, you don't like the character, but I thought you liked the movie.
Which one?
Iron Man? Didn't you tell me that? I could have sworn you told me that.
It's all right. It's. I like it because it's not an MCU movie yet. It's a Paramount movie.
There wasn't an MCU at the time.
There used to be a movie studio involved. There wasn't this cookie cutter process it is now.
Oh, Jesus. Let's not go there. We'll save
back
that for
in my day, comic book movies had heart.
We will discuss this at another time.
I watched Daredevil in the theater.
Oh, boy. I think he's drinking his cognac now, guys. I think he went and got it, took a few sips. I think he's doing that. So on that note, I will end this podcast. So for Pete Vera, I am Eric Holzman. Thank you for listening to Straight Outta Gotham. See you next time.